The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the Raider Nation podcast. I'm your host, Raider Greg, and the hoes go down at home in Las Vegas. Gotta love that. Here on show 589. Well, with the end score being 17-13, you'd have thought that this is a really slugfest and really a back and forth. But if you look at the numbers, total net yards, Denver Broncos 158, Las Vegas Raiders 342. It's almost double the yardage. We had three penalties. They had three penalties. Time of possession, too. The Raiders, 37 minutes, actually. And the Broncos, 24 minutes. Should have been a blowout loss, but instead, we barely made it to win. The last kick was the winning kick in the fourth quarter. You know, we were ahead 14-13, and then we iced the game with a kick. I don't know why this team can't get into the red zone, into the end zone. I really don't know the answer. I wish I did. I'd be a head coach. But, you know, Carr again, you know, an interception, a lame-ass interception for sure, and one TD. And Drew Locke. 15-22, not very good, pressured all day, defense was in his face, and you know, I gotta tell you, I didn't know if we were gonna win this game, even though it looked like we were gonna beat them solidly, but we just could not get, we couldn't get rolling enough. I don't know what's wrong with this team, I wish I did, but I don't. But we won. We'll take the W. We'll take the two wins against the Broncos. That's four in a row. I love hearing those numbers because I hate the hoes for sure. The big highlight for me as a fan was listening to the Bronco fans that were at home in our frickin' house. It was loaded. You could hear them clearly. You know, Randy says 10%. I say 25%. The reason I say that is the sound. Just listen to the game. Now, there were a lot of fans without their gear, their Bronco gear on, wearing, you know, suede jacket and Levi's and stuff like that. Definitely not Raider Nation in the house, but there were many, many Bronco fans. I've told you before how disturbing it is to have your home field, you know, absolutely filled with the opposing team. Well, we're not used to that here in Oakland. In Oakland, it had been maybe 3%. But I'm telling you, it was 15, 20% at least. It was loud, super loud for the Broncos team. I was, again, disappointed. But, hey, that's going to be the way our stadium is. Period. We all better get used to having a million opposing fans in there because they're coming. Not only are they coming, but in this case, they were absolutely disrespectful assholes. I saw a bunch of it. So if the Raider Nation in Las Vegas wants to hold some sack, because I'll tell you right here in Oakland, we held it down, bro. We held it down. Other fans could come. There's no big deal. But when they got out of hand or got disrespectful, hammer came down, brother. And if you went to Oakland ever, then you know that to be true. And if you're sitting on your seat in Las Vegas and some opposing fan is standing up in your face and won't sit down, well, I think it's time to get down. And whatever the hell that means. Because if we don't defend our home turf, literally, we will get no respect from anyone. I'm not encouraging fights or fisticuffs or any of that shit, but hey, man, one guy stands up, you won't sit down. Hey, you know, five or six Raider fans stand up and say, sit the fuck down. That shit'll end right away. And that's what I'm talking about. A little crowd control from the local team would be nice. I'm not seeing it. Vegas, fucking reach down between your legs and feel if you got a pair. Because right now it looks to me like you're a bunch of softies sitting from here. Because I've been to the real deal. I've been to Oakland games. Matter of fact, I've been to LA Coliseum games. And neither one of them was a real nice place for the opposing team. I expect this to change in Vegas. Or maybe we'll just be a bunch of bitches. And I ain't kidding. I'm going to be there on the last game against the Chargers. And you know how I'm going to roll, because that's how I always have rolled. There'll be plenty of Charger fans there, but they're not going to be giving any shit around this section I'm in. I can tell you right now, that shit'll stop for sure. So I know I went out on a tangent there, but I'm kind of sick and tired of watching the Vegas fans sit on their ass while they're being disrespected left and right. You don't have to put up with that. You can tell people to sit the fuck down and relax, because you're paying. Those are your seats. It's your house. This is the Raiders' house. Not the hoes. Not whoever else. Not the Bengals or whoever else shows up. Whoever. Man up in that stadium, man, because it's really flipping everybody here off. I'm telling you, flipping me out. I can already believe it. And I see the little innuendos and things when they flash to the crowd. It's disappointing to this Raider fan because, like I said, went to LA games, definitely went to Oakland games, and Las Vegas is in pale comparison as far as holding up the Raider fan mystique, which is come to our house, but don't be assholes. That's what I expect to happen there in Las Vegas. I'm glad we won this game because it looked like for a minute like we weren't going to. Derek Carr, I don't know what's up with him, but I hope that he's okay, because he was almost out of the game and I was thinking, oh good, Peterman's going to come in. That's a perfect recipe at this time of year. But he didn't. Carr came back and manned up, so I'm sure he'll be ready for the next game. I'm glad we won the game. It was terribly boring. It was a hard game to watch because we had so many opportunities to put this game away, yet just barely got away with the win.
Welcome in to the DNVR Broncos post-game show. I don't know. We need like a sad horn.
It went terrible.
Just a brutal loss for the Broncos, who really had so many opportunities. You just get gifted a lead heading into halftime, then the defense coughs it up right afterwards. You get a turnover there in the second half. You do nothing with it. You win the turnover battle 3-0. Still not enough. And then even late, you have Drew Lock make a great throw to Cortland Sutton to convert on that third down. And then, you have one go off Tim Patrick's hands. You have one go off of Albert O's hands. Then you give up a sack and you're forced to punt. And it's just like, you look back and you're just, wow. I even go back to the first three drives of the game. First drive of the game, you have Cortland Sutton kind of miss a toe tap on the sideline. Second drive of the game, you have Drew Lock with probably his worst play of the game, and he didn't have very many bad plays. He takes a bad sack, the one and only real bad sack he took today. That sets that one back. The third drive, you have Garrett Bowles get a tough call on an illegal hands to the face penalty. All three of those drives go out the window, and it's like, man, it just felt like it was one of those days where one little thing was going to derail them every single time they had a chance.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal in every single way, Ryan. And this offensive performance was a nightmare. And 158 total yards, Ryan. What the Broncos rely on is their run game. They had 18 rushing yards, and 10 of those were courtesy of Drew Lock. Melvin Gordon, negative rushing yards. Javonte Williams averaging just over 1 yard per carry. And then, of course, when the Broncos need their defense to step up, they are unable to. Ryan, this was just such a disappointing game because they had so many chances to win and stay in it. And they had so many things that went their way to start this day today, with so many teams losing that they needed to. The Chiefs winning, which helps them. And the Broncos, even with the last place schedule, aren't able to do it. And Ryan, we just officially saw their playoff chances and their season end. And for a second year in a row, Ryan, they are staring at fourth place in the AFC West, regardless of how close to 500 they are. They're still going to be the worst team in the AFC West unless something drastic happens in these final 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you know, that's actually kind of the bright side of things from my perspective. You get another cushy last place schedule next year. You know, you're going to play a really bad team for that 17th game. You're going to, you know, get whoever is the last place teams and all the other divisions on your schedule. And if you're able to, you know, make the changes necessary, then you might be able to have a nice little turnaround next year. But I don't know if people are quite ready to move on to next year at this point.
When the Broncos open up the second half and they have all the momentum going their way, they have the lead, they've got the momentum, the defense is playing out of their minds, outscoring essentially the Raiders in the first half, 10-7 just on the defensive side of the ball. They give up 31 rush yards in the first half. And then the Raiders say, well, we're not going to mess around with throwing the ball. We're going to run the ball every single play except for one on this drive. And we're going to pick up 62 rushing yards. We're going to double our first half rushing stats in this one drive alone and get a touchdown. That's when it felt like game over as well. There were a lot of game over moments, but at that point it felt like, well, we know the Broncos offense isn't going to do much. The defense is really going to have to step up. And if this is the way the defense responds, the game is over. And then the Raiders just continue to do that. I mean, at the beginning of the fourth quarter, Ryan, it felt like they were running the clock out with, you know, a 2-point lead. Running the clock out already, that's just how little respect the Raiders have for this Broncos run defense. And you know what? They were right. They shouldn't have had any respect for it because they ran 40 times for 160 yards. Ryan, this should have been a game plan for the Broncos. We'd be talking about 40 rushing attempts for the Broncos for 160 yards. And Jock only dropping back 25 times for the Broncos despite getting 65 plays. Instead, it's flipped, and we're talking about the opposite.
Yeah, just unreal. The script for this team is just so predictable. It's just so many missed opportunities, so many times where you expect a highly paid or highly thought of player to make a big play. They don't make the play. You expect the best, you know, the highest paid defense in the NFL, and a defense that's been playing at elite levels of recent, to make a stop with, you know, it's not like there was a minute 30 and they could only handle one first down. There's almost 4 minutes on the clock when the Raiders got the ball back. Your defense, Vic Fangio, can't stop an obvious run scenario. And I knew that they were going to throw the ball on that last play, because even if the clock stopped on that play, the punt was going to be the 2 minute warning after that. So it wasn't like it was either going to go to the 2 minute warning on that play if he ran it, or it was going to go on the punt after that. It wouldn't have been advantageous for the Broncos either way. So you got to see that coming. Someone's got to know that. There's got to be an alert out there that just so many things. It's just like, man, this team got close this year, closer, but they still feel like the exact same team.
They do. They really do. And that's just why, Ryan, you fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 2, 3, 4, 5 times, shame on me. It's time for not just a different direction at head coach, but a different organizational philosophy. And if today and these past 3 weeks haven't been clear enough, where you hold teams to very, very good numbers in terms of the defense and you still lose, I don't know what's going to open their eyes to make this decision, Ryan.
I don't either.
Defense played hard. Defense played their ass off. Good job in every way. Offense, You know, we had a running game finally. There was a Josh Jacobs showing. I can't believe it. They said his name so many times, I forgot he was on the team. The offensive line blocked very well, but I think if I look back, I don't think there's zone blocking. I think they changed to a power blocking scheme, and it took the Broncos off guard. And long story short, we ran the ball more than we've run an entire season. I don't see how that could happen, but it did. But the Broncos, they're rebuilding. They're rebuilding mode. They got rid of some good players already. And Fangio's not long for the coaching ranks here in Denver. They're going to get rid of his ass at the end of the season, and that's a fact. Good job, Raiders. Glad we won. But I hated the way we did win. With the yardage we had, we should have really thumped these guys. And trust me, that's all they need. I'd love to see more thumping of the Broncos. And that is all I have to say about that. Sunday. Gosh, January 2nd at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's an early game on our side. But the Raiders have to fly to Indianapolis, to Lucas Oil Stadium, that is a dome, thank goodness, because they're not going to be out in the frigid cold of Indianapolis. Thank goodness for that. So of all the games the Raiders have played this year, this is definitely a stout team. Not only are they good, they're organizationally stable. Very much so. From ownership down, this is the kind of team we don't want to see. And Carson Wentz is not that bad. He's not that bad because he has the number one running back in the entire NFL. Jonathan Taylor is a beast. And Michael Pittman Jr. can catch a ball. Zach Pascal can also catch. And you've heard of T.Y. Hilton? He is the real deal. Left guard, their line is stupendous and brutal. They are maulers up front, and they push you around and open gaping holes for Taylor to run in. And when they're not doing that, they're protecting Carson Wentz to the tune of 7 seconds to 8 seconds to throw the football. Now, he doesn't usually take that long. However, he has the time. Their defense is also formidable. Quitney Payne is no joke, man. A DeForest Buckner, you've heard the name because it's real. Grover Stewart, and it just keeps going on from there. And George Odom has really come out as a safety and been a phenom. Xavier Rhodes, also a great player. Rocky Sin needs no introduction because he's playing lights out. This is a playoff-bound team, folks. They're looking to win this game at home in their dome to go to the playoffs. This is their game. This is our also game that is also, and let me just say it before I choke it out, a must-win for the Las Vegas Raiders in order for us to be relevant still as we're trailing, as we always do this time of year, looking, hoping, praying for a spot in the playoffs. Well, I've already told you guys, I think that we don't deserve a spot. Our team isn't playing well enough, and our organization is, well, disorganized. Not saying that. I will say this. The special teams coach for the Colts is a freakishly awesome coach. He turned that thing around, and they're playing Pro Bowl-style football, and it took them 2 years. He's got a great, probably one of the best special teams in the league. He's looking for a head coaching job, too. I'm sure, very sure. He's from the Belichick aspect. Frank Wright, of course. But let's not go any further than that, because this team, the special teams better be on their toes because Bubba Ventrone, or Ventroni, is their special team coach, and he's magical. So I want the Raider fans to look and watch the special teams play because it should be very interesting as these two coaches head off to each other, because Pistachio is still doing our special teams, I am sure. So let's just look and see who they've won against. They won against the Dolphins. They won against the Texans. No big deal. Hey, they beat the Niners pretty handily. I think that's a pretty good win. They also beat the Jets. Easy win. Jaguars. Easy win. I mean, these are wins that we wouldn't have gotten easily. But they beat the Buffalo Bills. They beat them 41-15. Need I say more? Now, they lost to the Buccaneers by a touchdown. That's pretty damn close in my book. They also beat the Texans, which is in their division. They beat the Patriots 27-17. That wasn't easy to do. And they beat the steamrolling Cardinals 22-16. This team is on the up, and it's on the come up. They're strong, man. They got a great running game. And then when they don't have a great running game, Carson Wentz is just enough to make the magic happen. So in order for the Raiders to win this game, they have to stop the run. I mean, that's what everyone's saying before they play the Colts and they're unable to do it. I think we can do it. I think our defense can stop the run. And then we're going to have to defend the pass. But more to the point, we have to put pressure on Carson Wentz. That's a really, really tough call with their offensive line. But nothing is impossible. If we can stop the run and make them one-dimensional by passing the ball, we've got a chance. That's our chance. And we can dominate in special teams. They've done a fantastic job this year. So let's watch this game, see what happens. We can win if we play the Super Freaks. Depends on who shows up in this game. As you know, we don't know who's going to show up. I don't know which Derek Carr is going to be there. I don't know who's going to show up and want to win and want to play. I don't know if the offensive line will be ready to play and in the right mood. Who knows? Because this has been the problem the entire season. We don't know who's showing up. So hopefully the real Raiders, the winning Raiders, will show up to this game and capture another opportunity to get into the show. I don't think so. I think that the Colts will beat us handily. And I just think that we'll be forced to pass the ball. Their defense is relentless. But it just depends on who shows up. If we keep the ball and we run the ball, we keep it on the ground, keep it out of their hands, that would be a great thing for this game. I don't know if we can do that, but we certainly should try. The way we can win is get ahead early. I know that's just a curse for us, but if we can get away and get up in this game, get up two touchdowns early in the first quarter and force them to pass the ball throughout the game and not run it, you know, we could have a chance here. Force them to pass the ball. Let's see if we can do it. I know we can if the right team shows up, but we'll figure that out when they hit the field. I'm hoping that's the case. And that's about all I can say about that. Well, here's a little news flash on our game for the Colts. Carson Wentz tested positive for the COVID on Tuesday and should be on a 10-day sabbatical. But I think the NFL is going to change that to a 5-day. That's what the CDC has recommended lately. So I would not put it past the NFL to bring Carson Wentz back early for this game against, of course, the Las Vegas Raiders. Yes, it's not a scam, it's not a sketch, but I'll tell you, if Derek Carr had gotten it, I bet you on the fifth day, which Carson Wentz will be cleared by the fifth day, that's the day of the game. If he plays, well, that'll be interesting because it's supposed to be on the sixth day. You're supposed to be in quarantine for 5 days, not play on the fifth day. But as we know, the season and how it's been going, we're probably going to get the high hard one, literally, from the NFL. He'll be able to play, and we'll just have to play just like I said. Early touchdowns, hope they can play from behind because they won't run the ball then. They'll have to pass it. Either way, it's going to be a hell of a tough game. Their season depends on it, and so does ours.
The Indianapolis Colts just had a huge blow to their team. Their quarterback Carson Wentz has tested positive for COVID, and he is likely out against the Las Vegas Raiders. And I say likely because the NFL is trying to change the rules to benefit the Colts, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But let's talk a little bit about the implications of Carson Wentz testing positive and how this benefits the Raiders. First and foremost, the Raiders have some of their own players that tested positive for COVID. Casey Hayward, Corey Littleton, Patrick Onwuanza, Denzel Perryman, Darius Vilon, and KJ Wright. All of those players are on the defensive side of the ball. Primarily linebackers, a defensive lineman, and a corner as well. But those linebackers are going to be pivotal for the Raiders because we're playing a Colts team that's very tough running the football. Aggressive, get after it. And for the Raiders, we've struggled stopping the run, minus the past 2 weeks. We've done a pretty good job. And part of that was because of Denzel Perryman, KJ Wright, and Divine Diablo. Now, Diablo did not test positive for COVID, and he's okay for now, but those other guys did test positive. With those guys testing positive, the Raiders are taking a big hit. Now, for the Colts, they also get that same hit losing a guy like Carson Wentz. Wentz, in my opinion, is a top 10 to 12 quarterback. The Colts currently have a top 5 offense in terms of points per game, and that's led by Carson Wentz. They're in the playoffs at the moment. They have 9 wins at the moment. They've done a great job, and Carson Wentz has already missed some games this year. So if he's healthy, they could potentially have even more wins. Now, they're obviously still fighting to take the lead in the division, in their division specifically. I believe it's the AFC South. They're looking to take the lead over the Tennessee Titans, who have 10 wins. So these last two games are huge for the Indianapolis Colts. And not having Carson Wentz really benefits the Raiders. At the same time, the Raiders are in a must-win situation. If we don't win these last two games, we're out of the playoffs. If we win these last two games, we're at worst in the 7th spot, potentially 5th or 6th seed as well. So for the Raiders, you win these two games and there's no way you're not in. Because of the tiebreakers, the way the divisional tiebreakers are, the conference tiebreakers, the Raiders end up with the 7th spot over the Dolphins. So even if the Dolphins went out, as well as the Ravens, if they went out, the Raiders have the tiebreakers over both of those teams. So we end up being in that 7th spot over those teams. Now, obviously, that's assuming the Patriots and Colts continue to win or whatever, and they end up with the 5th or 6th seed. Either way, for the Raiders, this is really good news. Carson Wentz is part of that offense, man. He's one of the reasons why that run game is able to do what they do. You know, people love to focus in on the run. People think the Colts are a run-first team, which they are. They're definitely a run-heavy team with 3 really good running backs. But the thing is it's Carson Wentz that puts it together. It's Carson Wentz that gets up to the line of scrimmage, reads the defense, and then makes the call at the line of scrimmage. It's your quarterback that leads a team, leads an offense, and is the guy to step up in the locker room and help win a Super Bowl, a playoff game, a regular season game. The games that it matters is the quarterback that steps up and does it. And Carson Wentz has done it all season long. Obviously for the Raiders, big blow for the Colts, and it really benefits the Raiders. But if you guys think about it, the fact that the NFL is now trying to change the rules, and let's get into it a little bit. According to a source, the NFL and the NFL Players Association are getting close to adopting the new CDC guidelines. So what that means is the CDC had an old guideline that says that if you're an unvaccinated player and you test positive, you need to sit out for at least 10 days before, and even if you test negative 3 days later, you have to sit out for 10 days. You can test negative for the last 7 days. 10 days is what they recommend. Now, the CDC has obviously updated their guidelines, probably have some more science to back up whatever it may be. So instead of sitting out for 10 days, they've changed their rules that now you only need to quarantine for 5 days. So basically, Carson Wentz could have tested positive yesterday and start testing negative every day today going forward. But under the old rules, he would still be out against the Raiders. But if the new rules go into enforcement, and the source says that it could be agreed upon today, that it could be absolutely signed, done deal. And if Carson Wentz tests negative today plus going forward, or even if he just has a negative test by Saturday, he will be able to play against the Raiders on Sunday. Now, for the Raiders, we do have some players out as well. As mentioned, we have Casey Hayward, corner, Corey Littleton, linebacker, Patrick Onwuanza, linebacker, Denzel Perryman, another linebacker, defensive tackle, Darius Vilon, and linebacker, KJ Wright. So the Raiders have their own guys that have tested positive for COVID. Now, for the Raiders, it is different. The Raiders are 100% vaccinated. The entire team is vaccinated, which means that basically any player that tests positive for COVID and you are vaccinated, you basically just need to test negative. So you can test negative today, tomorrow. You just need to test negative two straight times and you are good to go. There's nothing else you need to do. Again, it's much different if you're vaccinated versus unvaccinated. So the Raiders could theoretically have all of those guys back. Jermaine Illuminor could potentially be back. He had COVID as well, as did a couple of our other players over the past couple of weeks. But yeah, another thing to kind of keep in mind is for the Raiders, you know, the NFL didn't cancel that Browns and Raiders game. Instead, they let the Browns kind of recover. And the Browns were, you know, 30, 40 people impacted potentially by COVID, right? At least over the last 3 weeks, there's been at least 40 people over that time period that have come in contact or have had COVID. And the Raiders had to play the Browns. So that means that, you know, those NFL linemen going up against those defensive linemen or the offensive linemen and defensive linemen going head-to-head, linebackers hitting running backs, that's a potential for COVID to be passed off. And it almost seems like after that Browns game, the COVID has really started hitting the Raiders, right? Like, you have all these defensive players, you have a couple of offensive players. It almost seems like, you know, canceling games would make much more sense at this point, especially if the NFL wants to try to contain that the spread of COVID, right? At the same time, there's also been talks that they're going to stop testing for COVID unless someone has symptoms, which, you know, I think that's how they should have done it all along. I feel like you should not have to test positive for COVID, especially since most of the players here that do test positive for COVID don't have any symptoms. You know, I asked a Raiders player that has had COVID or had COVID this season. He had nothing happened to him. He said he was perfectly fine. You know, and again, I know some people might have it worse than others, but I almost feel like, you know, COVID's going to come around, right? People are going to get COVID. Do you want to try to test for it and have 500-600 people like in the month of December who have tested positive for COVID and are ineligible to play when the playoffs are around the corner and most of those players don't have any negative impacts? Or do you want to just let it be and just kind of let those players go? Either way, you know, the NFL could do it however they want. The Raiders can get healthy as the season kind of comes along. We can get some players back as the season kind of comes along and we can get into the playoffs and potentially make a playoff push. You know, Darren Waller, I think, is so pivotal for the Raiders, and he may be back, right? Players like that getting healthy is going to be huge for the Raiders.
It is with great sadness for us to report that John Madden has passed away December 28th, 2021. Passed away today. And let me just say, there has been a million stories and specials, and so I can't do much justice to this, but I will do this. I'll say this for sure, because of all the football teams in the entire country's history, there has been no coach of any other team that has affected the game more than John Madden. The plump guy, the fat guy, the funny guy took the Oakland Raiders to the Super Bowl against the Minnesota Vikings and defeated them soundly. Not only was a great coach, a great human being, great humanitarian, he would not take an airplane. John Madden took his custom bus all over the country as he traveled for CBS Sports, Fox Sports, ABC Sports, and NBC Sports. There's a video game named after him, for crying out loud. Tragic loss for the sport, even more tragic for the Raider Nation. For those of us who knew him and those of us who watched him, and if you didn't, you should get on some of this YouTube and see this guy on the sideline. You want to talk about someone ripping the referees? It was the heyday of the NFL. Not a lot of pushy shovey. It was beatings, blood, and guts. Well, it's nice to know that there's one thing that's not a joke about the Raiders, and it's not him. The icon of this sport will never be forgotten, for crying out loud. So I don't want to be too somber about it or anything else. It's just a bummer, and I just have to say something. His record, please, could we find another coach like Coach Madden? Those battles between the Raiders and the Steelers were epic. 0.763 winning percentage. Boy, could we use this coach today. Amazing life, amazing man, and he was a Raider most of all. And that is all I have to say about that. Bad to the bone. 1-800-620-7181. 1-800-620-7181. I know you guys are tired of talking about the losses, and really, we're not going very many places, and it's not too exciting this time of year, because there's just not much positive, really. So, I expect less calls. We're getting less calls, so let's just do the calls we got. And our first caller from Comal County, Texas. I hope I said that right. My good brother, Raider Damien. This guy is a solid fan and a solid dude. What's up, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy. It's Raider Damien calling from Comal County, Texas, deep in the heart of hostile territory. I am just calling to wish you two, your families, and everybody out there in Raider Nation a Merry Christmas, a safe and happy New Year, and looking forward to our team doing some great things in the years to come. Hope you all had a great Christmas. Take care.
Well, thank you so very much, man. The wishes are from the heart, I know. You're a good man and a great fan, and sure as hell hope someday the fans will get what they deserve, which is a winning team. Thank goodness for that. Let's wish for that on New Year's. Thank you, my brother. Same to you. The whole nation, I'm sure, salutes you in the same fashion. And our next caller, my good brother, the source in Las Vegas for Raider news. Raider Steve's in the house. My good brother, what's up?
Hey, Raider Greg, Raider Steve in Vegas. Just coming off the win against the Broncos yesterday. I was at the game, and I got to say that I was surrounded. Well, not surrounded. It was a good mix, but it was majority Raiders fans, but there's a lot of Broncos fans there. And it was the least hostile crowd I think I've ever been at Allegiant. It was like the Broncos and the Raiders fans. It's like we've been doing this so long that it's just like there's no even point in arguing with each other, if that makes sense. And it was like, it doesn't matter who wins this game. We both know we suck, if that makes any sense, man. But, you know, it was a weird but cool vibe. And I hate the Broncos and their fans, but yesterday everyone was cool, man. It was like we're all in this miserable thing together. I'm glad we got the win. It keeps the hope alive for one more week, but I'm sure that the Colts are going to curb stomp us, but you never know. And it was nice to get a win, man. And I'm glad I was there to see it. Had a little too much to drink, but other than that, it was good. And like I said, it was this strange brotherhood between Raiders and Broncos fans. I can't really explain unless you were there, but there was no arguing, no yelling. It was just kind of like good old-fashioned ribbing, and we both know we're screwed. So anyways, Happy New Year. Go Raiders.
Wow, that's not what I saw from the film or from the game. I was seeing a lot of Bronco fans standing up in front of Raider fans. I'd have been pissed. But I do understand, going to Coliseum for as many years as I did, The odd peace that has formed between two losing franchises that have buffoonery in their ownership and coaching staffs. This I understand, and I've seen it before. I'm glad that the Bronco fans weren't getting down like I thought they were. Appreciate you bringing that news. That's what I'm talking about. You were there. I will be there on the last game of the season, and I hope to hook up with you, brother, and we can share a beer and the last game against the vaunted nutless, boltless, Chargers. Appreciate the call, my brother, especially about the atmosphere. And our next caller is Raider Jim from the East Coast. What is happening, my fridges, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy. This is Raider Jim on the East Coast on a victory Monday. As I said last week, man, I'll just take them when they come. I listened to the podcast last week, Brother Greg, and you make some great points, and I agree with you, and I also agree that I don't want the next coach to be, you know, some milquetoast, no personality dude. We need some fire, and I want somebody with experience, too. I agree with you. Also, man, glad to hear you got another dog. I know you went through some mourning when you lost your dog, and I can relate completely, as many of us can. On the game yesterday, the big story of yesterday's game, obviously, was the defense, who came to play. They played great. I hope that, as you so aptly described, the ownership of the Raiders as buffoons, I hope that they will step away from their buffoonery long enough to realize they need to keep this defense intact, and they need to keep what's happening going with the defense, because it's trending in the right direction. I also have to give credit to the offensive line, the way they blocked it, especially in the second half, and they were able to run the ball, and really very rare thing this year, Josh Jacobs' first 100-yard game, and pulled out the victory. So, you know, anytime we can win, obviously it's a good day. But to beat the Broncos is always special. It's just four straight beating the Broncos, the donkeys. So, hey, man, we'll take it, right? We'll take it. We'll see what happens. I'm not even talking about playoffs. I know everybody is, but not going there. I think we've got a lot of work to do still, and it'll be interesting to see what happens going into the offseason. All right, Brother Greg, keep it up, man. Love the podcast. And you just say so much that I'm thinking. So God bless you, brother. God bless the Raider Nation.
You know, I'll take the win, too, as ugly as it was. I'll always take a win, especially at home, when you see all those Bronco fans there at Allegiant Stadium. You know how much they paid for their seats. I love it. They had to sit there and watch their team lose. There's nothing quite like it, especially when you're at home like Raider Steve. It makes a huge difference. Yeah, we're not going to the playoffs. I mean, if we do, I don't know if we're going to go anywhere. We don't have the team for it nor the coach for it. So I just hope we win. I'm glad we won at home, because every home win is a good win for our fans that spent all that money to build that new stadium. I say that. Amen. And our next caller is the Cheesehead Raider. He's calling from warmer territories in the South, which is good. Glad you are, bro. What's up?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is the Cheesehead Raider calling from North Carolina. I'm spending Christmas and New Year's with family and friends. Just wanted to call about the win against the Broncos, as the Raiders won another division game. We're still in the hunt. Now, quick thing I just want to say about that is, I know there are some people saying, oh, I don't want to go to the playoffs. We're not ready to go to the playoffs. Let's pause about that and look at what going to the playoffs would do for the future of the Raiders. If we were to make it to the playoffs with substandard coaching, imagine what a top-tier coach is going to think. They're going to think, wait a minute, they've got horrible play calling. Their coaching is not any good. And yet they still were able to knock on the door of the playoffs or make it to the playoffs, even if we lose the first game. That's going to attract top-tier coaches to want to come and coach the Raiders. So I don't want to poo-poo the importance or if we're ready to go to the playoffs, you know, that I think that for the future of the organization, like beat a dead horse, keep saying this, to bring in a top-tier coach, it's going to be more attractive. I don't think that John Gruden, with all of his arrogantness, was going to come to the Raiders if we were constantly 5-12 or, you know, whatever. We made the playoffs the 1 year under Del Rio. Clearly we didn't the next year because Del Rio fired the offensive coordinator. How you do that with the 6th-ranked offense makes no sense to me. But he saw, hey, there's some talent here. I can do something with this team. Same thing with a future coach. They're going to see us. We've got talent, just don't have the coaching. All that guy has to do is come in and tighten things up, and hey, we can start making some noise. So, Raider Nation, we keep pulling. Hopefully we can figure something about Indianapolis, because that's going to be a tough game. And then we got the Chargers, another division game. We win those 2 games, maybe a little help, and we're in the hunt. So keep your head up high. I hope everyone had a blessed Merry Christmas, and I hope everyone has a good New Year. And this is the Cheesehead Raider, and I am out.
Well, yeah, I understand I'm not against us winning all these games at all, but at this point of the season, it's kind of futile. But we'll see what happens with the Colts. If we beat the Colts, yeah, well, of course. I really don't think it has much bearing on our coach. Our coach is going to look for his team, his players, his people in the key positions. That's what he's going to look at. The other thing he's going to look at is salary. And in Vegas, they don't have taxes on your income, so that's a huge plus. He has a $2 billion brand new stadium. I think that's a pretty attractive thing for any solid, good coach. And if it's not, well, then the buffoonery continues, because we should have great candidates coming to our organization offering great things, because we have a brand new stadium, we have a good solid team, a great base of a team, and we got nothing to do but go further up from here. So I don't know about the playoffs making a huge difference, but if it does, then go for it. I say yay, because we need some good coaching around here. And last, but never least, my good brother, Raider Chris from Scranton, PA. Love this take, by the way. What's you got for us, my good Raider brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, Raider Chris, Scranton, PA. A win is a win. It's a sweat Denver on to Indy. That's going to be a tough game. That team is no joke. This game was more so about our run game, because Carr was Carr. You know, he did not impress me once again. His vision on the field is terrible. There were a lot of lanes where instead of being dumb, he could have ran it, and he threw an interception, then he fumbled, then he's trying to do a ballerina out there. Like, anyways, what a good win. We swept Denver, like I said, off to Indy. Having Desmond Trufant out there, he's a difference maker for that secondary. Glad to see him out there and actually performing well. Jacobs, finally a 100-yard game. And, so it's off to Indy. Hope everybody's Christmas was outstanding and safe. And till next week, Raider Nation, we're still alive somehow. I'm out like that fat girl in dodgeball.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how we made it either. I don't know how we're here. And Derek Carr continues to be himself. And even with the O-line playing the way they did, I don't know, man. I can't put my finger on him or his game. But he almost lost the game for us. You know, and I kept telling Randy, texting him, he's going to fumble the ball. He's going to fumble the ball. And lo and behold, he's got 36 quarterback fumbles, I think, in his career. 36 by far outblows away anybody else. His pocket presence, as we all know, is lacking. So let's hope we can go into Indianapolis and make some noise. We'll see what happens. If the Super Freaks show up, who the hell knows? We could win this one. Appreciate the call, brother. Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Raider Nation podcast. I had to squeeze this one in very quickly because I have a puppy who's asleep, thank goodness. If it wasn't the case, you'd hear me going, ow, oh, ow, because she'd be eating my toes, my heels, anything that's down there that she can get a hold of. As you know, anyone with a puppy. It's a blessing. I'm truly blessed to be able to have it at this point in my life. Well, Raider fans, this is it, man. The last couple weeks, you guys are going to be there for that last game. Randy and I are going to be there. Going to try to do some videos, see what's up. Hopefully hook up with some fans there at the game. You know what? It's going to be my first time there for a game with my brother Randy. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to try to make it happen and see the fans in their places at our new, beautiful stadium. Raider Nation, I hope you had a very Merry Christmas. Please have a very safe and wonderful New Year. Let's look forward to some getting rid of this COVID horse crap, hopefully rising above this so that our lives can come back to some state of norm, for crying out loud, and people stop dying, for crying out loud, which is the most important part. God bless you, Raider Nation. I am Raider Greg, and I am out.